Pentecost Sunday.
Yeah.
What a challenge. Some people think it was the miracle of tongues that occurred on Pentecost. And in truth, it wasn't. It was the miracle of hearing, of being able to listen, to hear in his own language. What an amazing thing that was. You understand, the Pentecost was a festival, and it was major, and it was kind of an obligation holy day. You made your pilgrimage, and people from all over the known world that were Jewish and those who were God-fearers, and were called proselytes, came to be a part of this festival. And here are these 11 guys in that morning, all of a sudden speaking out, and others are hearing them tell about the mighty acts of God in their own language. And more people come over to listen, to hear what God has done in his own language. The miracle of hearing. I sometimes wonder if it's not also the miracle of listening, because sometimes they don't always go together, and they should. But the Holy Spirit descended upon them. Something amazing happened now for the first time. Let me see if I can help you understand how they came. Something original, something different happened when the Holy Spirit descended upon the folks at Pentecost. Now, let's try to understand why this is so significant. In the beginning, God's Spirit went and passed over the void, the form, when the world began. And throughout time, God's Spirit has appeared and functioned by resting upon prophets through the anointing, by resting upon leaders through the anointing. And God's Spirit through the Exodus was what? A pillar of smoke and a flame by night. But God's Holy Spirit has not descended before upon everybody who believed. It descended upon Gideon with the 300. It descended upon Elijah and Elisha. Yeah. And the Holy Spirit descended upon Jesus. But it did not descend upon everybody until Pentecost. And this was the second greatest gift we've had. The first gift was Jesus, who died on the cross so that my sins might be forgiven. And he was raised. And he still lives today. That was the first major gift. That was earth-shaking. Never before has somebody offered to take your sins upon themselves. Because before, you had to work to get rid of them, and you couldn't. Now, believing in Christ relieves you. But believing in Christ now makes you the recipient of the Holy Spirit. You are anointed. You are special. You need to understand this. Not only has your sins been forgiven and Christ is risen and promising you eternal life, but he has sent what he said he would send, a helper, a comforter, a guide, called the Holy Spirit. And we are lackadaisical about it. Now let me tell you why. If you're an intellectual, like I was for many years, and you were baptized in the Holy Spirit and you just happened to speak in tongues, you were just overexcited. That's all there was to it. I'm going to tell you, the Holy Spirit does not require you to speak in tongues, folks. It's not a requirement. It's a gift for a purpose, for the enlightenment and uplifting of the community, because it has a translator. That's what it's for, and it's your own prayer language. But it's not a requirement to receive the Holy Spirit. And you don't have to dance in ecstasy to show that you're in the Holy Spirit. It's not a requirement. You don't have to jump up and down. No, it's not a requirement. What does it require? Jesus said, you believe in me, you believe in the Father, I'm in the Father, he's in me and I'm in you, and the Holy Spirit is going to come to you. Well, now, if this is true, what are we doing to act like the Holy Spirit's in our lives? Oh, somebody's always got to ask that stupid question, right? Always ask that question. So what? What's in it for me? These guys ran off at the mouth at Pentecost, and 3,000 people believed in Jesus. How does that Holy Spirit coming upon believers affect my life? I think that's an excellent question. Has anybody addressed it with you? Do you address it? Well, I don't know about you, but at seminary we talked about God. Jesus at Christmas and Easter, and we made a passing nod to the Holy Spirit at Pentecost. But other than that, I did all the other theological thinking stuff. You know, not once did they address that issue. Well, you got the Holy Spirit, so what? What's going on now? Well, I'm going to tell you, if you're a believer, you got the Holy Spirit, you don't have to ask for the Holy Spirit to come. Think about it. You don't have to ask for him to come. He's here. He's in you. You can ask him to manifest himself, but he's here. You don't need to invite him. You're a believer. Well, now, does that mean I only talk to him when there's earth-shaking things that need to be discussed? Oh, no. I drive Julie right up the wall. We're going to a grocery store or someplace. And she goes, oh, look, here's a parking space. Now it's in the South 40. And it's the first one she sees because there's 15,000 others out there. And I said, no, I've got a parking space up front. She goes, yeah, sure. We go to the end of the aisle, two spots from the end. The car pulls out and I pull in. I always have a parking space up front. She goes, no, you don't. Okay. So we do it again. There's a parking space in the North 40. I said, I've got one up front. Now, it's humorous. But stop and think what I'm saying. Is the Holy Spirit a part of your everyday functioning life? If God is who we say he is, he wants to be a part of everything we do. That means finding a parking space. That means finding your car keys that you put down and don't remember where they are. That means asking him, show me, Lord. But I can also tell you, it means when you start getting in tune with him, that he's going to smack you upside the head. I'll tell you, just recently, Julie is my prime example because she's the good guy.
She goes, "Do you have a saw that goes like this on an angle?" Now, I said, "What do you want it for?" And she got mad. Rightly. Because as I thought about it later on, the Holy Spirit says to me, "You would not say that to someone like Ronnie if he said, 'You got a skill saw that will tilt on a 30-degree angle?'" And I would not have said, "What do you use it for?" I would have said, "Yes." And the Holy Spirit comes along and smacks me upside the head and said, "You wouldn't talk to Ronnie or Wayne or Roy. If Roy asked, I would say, 'Sure, I've got the saw that'll do that.' I won't ask another man, 'Well, what do you want it for?'" So the Holy Spirit says, "What are you doing talking to your wife, who is the greatest gift I've given you next to my son? What are you doing talking to my gift that I gave you like that?" I had to stop and apologize. Later, took a little conversation between me and God for a while. But finally, I listened. That's the Holy Spirit talking. He will grab you at the moment and say, "Are you uncomfortable with what you just said? And if you're not, you should be." And that always bothers me, because he does it an awful lot to me. I'd just soon he'd do it to somebody else. But this morning, Julie was feeling at odds. And I love this. There's something she had to do, but she couldn't figure out what. And she looked at the skirt that she was working on for young Morgan. And she knew she had to finish the hem, but she couldn't find the needle and everything. And she just paused a little bit, and she sees this thread with a needle. And she says, "Thank you, Lord. This is what I'm supposed to do this morning." The Holy Spirit is not something to be used, oh, I hate that terminology, but bear with me on it, to be berated at our times of stress. The Holy Spirit is here to comfort, to lead, and to heal. And it's on a day-to-day basis, minute-to-minute, all day long, every day. So this is great. Because now we have God, get this, in us, and we're in Him because of the Holy Spirit. Yeah. You get this? You're special. Isn't it neat? You stop and think about it. Now, in your frustrations with wanting to throttle somebody, not that I ever get that way, but I found that if I ask the Holy Spirit to reflect me in my thinking on what's going on, I find that a lot of times there's a lot of peace and quiet that can come about. So all those less than intelligent drivers who wait until the last second to pull out in front of you, or turn without signaling, or stop without signaling, especially at a yield sign, God has been able to give me, through the Holy Spirit, a sense of humor. And I find that I can now drive most of the time without my blood pressure being elevated. Now, you notice I'm being honest with you. I said most of the time. I'm going to talk about my faults. I don't know about yours, but I know mine very clearly. So we'll talk about mine more than anything. But this is Pentecost. This is a day worth rejoicing. And every time we come together and celebrate the Eucharist, we're celebrating the impartation of Christ into us and us into him, the presence of God. Now, do I know how God does that? Above my pay grade. He says, I do it. Okay. Some things you just don't have to know how. It should be enough to know it is. And the Holy Spirit is. And Jesus is. And God the Father is. And we are the inheritors, the heirs of the eternal kingdom. We're family. And as the family of God, we need a sense of humor. Because otherwise, we're not going to remember the joy that God gives us. And it's joy and love that we get to celebrate today, because the Holy Spirit has come for everyone. Amen.